If you please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to be in verses 1 through 4. This February is Stewardship Emphasis Month, and so we are taking a break from our messages in the Gospel of Matthew to talk about giving today. Now don't worry, I'm not going to be preaching on giving all month long, okay? We don't want to turn this into Stewardship Over Emphasis Month. So next week, we'll be right back in the Gospel of Matthew. But what we do want to do this month is each week, we're going to take a few moments each week this month during the services just to emphasize a different aspect of stewardship. And so we'll have some testimonies in the coming weeks, and there'll be some bulletin inserts and a brief report from one of our deacons. But in our passage this morning, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul shares with the Corinthians about his upcoming trip. And he answers some questions that they had about the what they call the collection for God's people. Now, we're going to learn more about what that collection is in a moment. But in answering the Corinthians' question about this collection, what Paul really does is he gives the Corinthians and us, he gives us seven important principles for Christian giving in the church. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. There's an outline in your bulletin that has all of those, if you'd like to take that out to follow along. But all seven of these principles are found right here at the beginning of chapter 16. They're in verses 1 through 4. So if you'll please stand with me now for the reading of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. This is God's word. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at these verses and explore these principles for Christian giving, Lord, I know sometimes we feel funny about messages on giving, And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to put that aside this morning. Lord, this is your word. We want to learn from it. And Lord, we want to be better servants of you and better stewards of the many blessings that you give to us. So help us this morning with our message today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We're going to start with a quick poll this morning. How many of you here this morning are the type of person who never reads the instruction manual? How many of us are the people who, oh boy, there's a lot of us today, never read the instruction manual, right? How many of you shop at IKEA and never read the instruction manual? Okay, none of you, that's right. Oh, we do have one. That's very brave to buy from IKEA and not read the instructions. You know, there's a lot of times in life where we find ourselves saying, if I only had the instructions, right? If I could only find the manual. There are entire YouTube channels on the internet today that are entirely devoted to giving visual instructions on how to do various tasks. And when I'm trying to figure out how to do something with my car or at the house, first place I usually go is YouTube, and I'll find the instructions that I need right there. When it comes to Christian giving, you don't need to worry about finding the instructions. And that's because God has given us all the instructions that you need right in his word. You don't even need to go to YouTube, okay? You just open your Bible, it's right there. And the good thing about that is this. When we follow the instructions, right? It's one thing to have the instructions, but you got to follow the instructions. When we follow the instructions, God promises us that we will have everything we need to do what God tells us to do. What a blessing that is for us and for a church and as a church family. So today we're going to look at these instructions for giving as found here in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4. All of these instructions are given within the context of this collection for God's people. Look at verse 1 with me now where Paul writes this. He says, now, about the collection for God's people. He says, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. You might say, well, what was this collection? Well, this collection was a very special collection that Paul was taking up for the poor people in Jerusalem. They were struggling for a number of reasons, perhaps due to persecution or famine, perhaps both. But in discussing the instructions and the preparations for this collection, what Paul does is he gives us some very important principles for church giving in general. Notice he tells the Corinthians, he says, hey, I'm giving you the same instructions I gave the Galatians. In other words, these weren't instructions just for the Corinthians. These are general principles. And these principles are applicable to any church in any church setting. So that's verse 1. And then in the next verses, verses 2 through 4, God gives us these 7 principles for Christian giving in the church. Now, there are other principles for Christian giving we find in other places of Scripture as well. For example, elsewhere in Scripture, we learn that Christian giving is an act of worship to the Lord. That's important. We also learn that Christian giving should be done out of an attitude of thankfulness for what God has provided. That's important. We learn that Christian giving should be generous, that Christian giving should be done cheerfully, that Christian giving should be done in an attitude of faith. We find all of those principles elsewhere in Scripture. But this morning, what we're going to do is we're just going to be focusing here, just in these 4 verses, and we're going to be looking at the 7 specific principles that we find here in 1 Corinthians 16. Here they are. We'll put them up on the screen for you to see now. Christian giving should be regular giving, participatory giving, intentional giving, proportional giving, anticipatory giving, we'll find out what that is, effective giving, and finally, accountable giving. And these 7 steps, these are what we might call the nuts and bolts of Christian giving. These are the practical aspects of giving, as opposed to the more spiritual aspects of giving, the ones we've already talked about, such as worship, gratitude, cheerfulness, faith. But here's the deal. You really cannot separate these 2 aspects. You can't separate the practical aspects from the spiritual. You can't separate them. The practical aspects are only acceptable to God if we also practice the spiritual aspects, right? But we never get around to doing the spiritual aspects if we don't do the practical aspects. And so God gives us all of these 7 principles together, and they are essential for us to be able to practically know how do we give in the church. Now, the first 6 of the principles you see up there on the screen, they're all found in verse 2. And then when we get to the final principle, that will be in verses 3 and 4. So about first of all, let's take a look at verse 2. Remember, the first 6 principles are all found in this verse. Let's read it together, 1 Corinthians 16:2. It says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. There's 6 principles in that verse, okay? We're going to look at them one at a time now. Here we go. First principle is this, regular giving. And we find in this phrase, the very first phrase of the verse, on the first day of every week. On the first day of every week. What's the first day of every week? Sunday. That's the first day. And so Paul is talking here about the weekly gathering of the church for worship. Notice Paul assumes that the church is meeting for worship when? On a Sunday, the first day. Not on Saturday. Now, that's a very fascinating discussion for another time, that how the church, the early church, which, remember, it was mostly Jewish to begin with, how they began worshiping on a Sunday rather than on a Saturday, right? Saturday, for centuries, they had worshiped on the Sabbath day on Saturday. But Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday, and Sunday was known as the Lord's Day. And very early on, the church began worshiping on Sundays. But this first instruction from Paul simply tells us that our giving should be regular. The church meets regularly for worship. The church makes regular collections, and therefore we should give regularly to the Lord's work. Now, sometimes people get confused on this one because not everybody gets paid every week, right? Some people get paid every 2 weeks. Some people get paid maybe once a month. Some of us do contract work, right? And we're paid very irregularly. You might go 2 months without anything, and then all of a sudden a lot of money comes in. So how do we coordinate our regular giving with the church's weekly collections? It's a great question. And the basic answer, and you'll find this is an answer for a lot of these principles, is that primarily, first of all, that's between you and the Lord. That's something you work out between you and God. Some people may choose a weekly amount that they will give, even though they aren't necessarily paid every week. Some people just choose to do it that way. But I think a good rule of thumb to follow is simply this, and this is how we try to practice it. As often as you receive income, that's how often you give back to the Lord. In other words, every time God provides for you, you give back to him. And that means you don't wait until Sunday to write the check. When do you write the check? You write the check when you receive the check. As often as God provides for you, you give back to him. Or if you give online, when do you schedule that online giving? That online payment, you schedule your online giving for when your regular check comes in. And when we do that, we'll make sure that we're practicing this first principle of regular giving. However you decide to do it, it's between you and the Lord. Make sure that you are giving regularly to God. God provides for us every day, right? And we should give regularly back to him. So that's the first principle, very simple one, regular giving. Principle number two, participatory giving. We find this in the very next phrase now in 1 Corinthians 16:2, where Paul says just these simple words. He says, each one of you. You see that there? Each one of you. On the first day of each week, each one of you should give to the Lord. And that's all participatory giving means. It simply means everyone is to participate in giving. Every church should aim for this number, 100% participation in giving. Let me just say a word to parents here this morning. Parents, you should be teaching your children to give to the Lord. And whether you give your kids a regular allowance or whether you pay them for specific chores or whether they receive gift money from time to time, you should teach them when they're still young to set aside a portion of that to give to the church. Now, Rosie and I, when our kids were young, we always did a weekly allowance with them. It wasn't much, just a little bit. When they were real young, for example, we might give them a quarter and a nickel. And when we did that, we'd say, here's a quarter for you and a nickel for God. And they do that from a very young age. They'd take that quarter and they'd set it aside and they'd save that up for something. They'd take that nickel and they'd set it aside. But they knew when they came to church that they would be able to participate. That when the offering plate came around, they would have something of theirs that they could give to God. You see, everyone should participate in giving to the Lord. Not everyone may give the same amount. We'll get to that shortly. But everyone should give. So that's our second principle this morning. Participatory giving. Third principle for Christian giving is this. Intentional giving. Once again, we just look at the very next phrase in verse 2. And that next phrase is this. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money. Should set it aside. In other words, our giving to the Lord should be intentional, not random or haphazard. Now, this is an area where I believe many of us can improve our giving. For many of us, our giving works this way. When the offering plate comes around, we immediately grab for our wallets or purses. We don't even know what's inside. We look through. We see some bills in there. We take them out. We put that in the plate. Now, it's not that God is displeased with that. You're giving to the Lord. God is very pleased with that. Thank you for being faithful to God in that way. But when we do it that way, you're still giving to the Lord, but you're missing out on this third principle, the intentional aspect of giving. God wants our giving to be more thoughtful, more prepared, more planned out in advance. And so that's why the Bible tells us here that we're to set aside a sum of money to give to the Lord. We should think ahead. We should know exactly what amount we're giving to God before we give. And once again, the very best time to set it aside is when you receive, right? Each time you receive from the Lord, you set aside a sum of money to give back to the Lord. Now, there are going to be other times when God just suddenly lays something on your heart and that you give spontaneously to the Lord. I'm sure most of us have done that as well. And that's also good. Spontaneous giving is also good, but our regular giving should be intentional giving. And that's what Paul says here through the Holy Spirit. He says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. So we've looked at regular giving, participatory giving, intentional giving. Now we come to the fourth principle, proportional giving. Once again, we just keep on moving our way through verse 2, next phrase, where Paul writes, in keeping with his income. In keeping with his income. In other words, not everyone gives the same amount when we give. That's what that little phrase means, in keeping with his income. It means that those who have more, give more. While those who have less, give less. And you know what? No one should feel bad about that. None of us should feel bad about that. In fact, that's the way God designed it. That's what he's saying here. If you can't give a lot because you don't have a lot, don't worry about that. God is pleased when you simply give in obedience to his word and out of love and worship to him. In keeping with his income means that you give a proportion of your income to the Lord. And so, of course, the question is often raised, well, what proportion do I give? What percent of my income do I give? And once again, here's the answer. I told you it'd come up a lot. That is between you and the Lord. But the Bible does tell us, there is a number the Bible gives us, that we should begin, there's a starting point, with 10% or the tithe. The tithe is mentioned in Scripture long before God gave the law to Moses. Jesus affirmed the tithe in the New Testament as well. But once again, that tithe, it's really only a starting point. We should not get hung up on that number, because the Bible says we should also give generously and sacrificially. Now, for someone with very little income, that tithe, that is a great sacrifice in and of itself, isn't it? For someone with a much larger income, that tithe is not much of a sacrifice at all. And so there are many people who give much more than a tithe. Why? First of all, because they can, but even more importantly, because it's their desire to see God use their money, to use their money for ministry and for missions and for spreading the gospel to people who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The story is told about a local businessman who was having trouble tithing. So he went to his pastor for help. He said, "Pastor," he said, "when I was a young man and I earned $100 a week, I had no trouble tithing. I gave $10 a week and I felt great about it." He said, "But then over time, as the Lord prospered me, I was earning $500 a week. It was a little more difficult giving that $50 each week, but I did the best I could. Then when I was earning $1,000 a week, boy, it was real difficult giving $100 each time. That's how much I used to earn each week, and now I'm giving all of that away. And then when I began earning $2,000 a week and $3,000 a week and even more, I just found that I couldn't tithe anymore. Pastor, will you please pray for me?" The pastor said he would be glad to, and he began praying. He said, "Lord, my friend here is having trouble tithing. He's asked for your help. Oh, Lord, could you please reduce his income back to the place where he could feel comfortable tithing again?" At which point the businessman replied, "Pastor, thank you very much, but that won't be necessary. Hallelujah, I have just been cured." You see, a person's giving reveals our heart, doesn't it? Reveals your heart. What do you really care about in life? What things are most important to you? Are you storing up treasure here on earth? Or are you storing up treasure in heaven? The Bible says you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. So that's our fourth principle of Christian giving this morning. Very important, proportional giving. Each one of us should give in keeping with our income. Some people can give a smaller proportion of their income. Others can give a much larger proportion. But once again, it's not the actual number that matters so much as your heart. And that proportion you give, that is between you and the Lord. Okay, we've looked at four principles so far, right? We've got three more to go. Now, these first four principles, let me make a distinction here. Those first four principles, those largely have to do, primarily, have to do with individuals and our giving to the church, individuals and families giving to the church. These next three principles, although they can also apply to people, in many ways, these apply more to the church itself and how the church handles the offerings that it receives. But once again, we need all seven of these principles together. They're all essential for Christian giving. So now we come to principle number five, which I've called anticipatory giving. I had to practice that word 100 times this week, okay? Anticipatory giving. And we find this once again, next phrase, 1 Corinthians 16:2, where Paul says, "saving it up so that when I come." Do you see the anticipation of that phrase? Saving it up so that when I come. Anticipatory giving has to do with this. It has to do with wise planning, stewardship, budgeting and the allocation of funds. In other words, the church must be a good steward of the funds that it receives. Imagine for a moment a church with no budget, no planning, no tracking of giving or spending. The money just comes in and the church just spends it here and there with no thought to the future. That church is not practicing anticipatory giving. It is not being a good steward of the funds that God has entrusted to it. The wise church doesn't just take whatever money comes in that week and spend it, because that church knows there's various expenses that are going to be coming up throughout the year. There are various ministries it needs to support. There are various missions it has pledged to support. And so what does the wise church do with its collections? It saves them up. It distributes them into various funds to cover various expenses. And how do you know how much to put into each fund? You anticipate, right? You anticipate. You plan ahead. You make a budget. Here's how it works at our church. Every October, the deacons in our church, we come together and very prayerfully and thoughtfully, we put together a budget for the following year. And in putting that budget together, we look at a number of things. We look at the current rate of giving. We see where is our church at now as far as giving. We look at the anticipated expenses in all of the various areas. We also anticipate rising costs in different areas where expenses are going up. We pray about new ministries that we'd like either to create or expand. And then we present that budget to the congregation at our annual meeting. We give that out 2 weeks in advance so everybody has time to look at it and ask questions and review it in advance. And then we come to the annual meeting, and before we ever vote on it, we discuss it. We open it up for questions, and people ask questions. We provide answers. Sometimes we modify that budget right there in the meeting before we vote on the new budget for the year. We just did that just a few weeks ago. A lot of you were there at that meeting. You had your input into that. Then as we go through the year, if we need to make any mid-course corrections, call a special congregational meeting. We go through the process all over again. What are we doing? We are seeking to practice wise stewardship. And that's all we mean by this phrase, anticipatory giving. We pray, we plan ahead, we seek to be wise stewards of the funds that are entrusted to us. By the way, this whole idea of wise stewardship, it's not just for churches, but it's for families and individuals as well. As individuals and families, we also should be prayerfully planning out our giving and spending throughout the year. So that's our fifth principle, anticipatory giving. Principle number six, effective giving. Effective giving. And we find this principle in the very last phrase now of verse 2, where Paul simply says this, no collections will have to be made. Well, that sounds like it was effective then. No collections will have to be made. And when Paul says no collections, he doesn't mean that the church is going to stop taking weekly offerings. He simply means there's not going to need to be any one single large collection when he gets there. You see, this collection for God's people was a big deal. It was going to take a significant amount of funds to meet the need. Paul knew that if the Corinthians waited until he arrived, and then Paul just said, okay, we're going to take one big collection, it was never going to be enough. But if the Corinthians practiced biblical giving, the principles he had just shared with them, then Paul knew that their giving would also be effective, that there would be sufficient funds to meet the need. And people, it works the same way in the church today. Imagine if we only took one offering at the end of the year. Okay, we're going to take one big offering and see if that will handle everything for the next year. It would never work, right? We would not have sufficient funds to do the work God has called us to do as a church. But if we follow these week in and week out principles of Christian giving we've looked at today, we will have all the funds necessary to accomplish all that God is calling us to do. And that's one of the reasons we track it throughout the year. And the whole key is not to get to the end of the year and say, okay, you know, we've got a big shortfall, let's try to make it up in one big offering. It doesn't work. We've tried it that way. What we need to do as a church is we need to keep up with it every week, right? We need to look at those financial reports and say, where are we? And adjust accordingly and keep up with it. And that's effective giving. So when we get to the end of the year, no collections will have to be made. No extra collection. Because we've been practicing biblical giving throughout the whole calendar year. Now we finally come to our final principle, principle number 7, which we call accountable giving. We find this principle in verses 3 and 4 now, where Paul writes this. He says, "Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve, and I will send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable to me, advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me." What's Paul saying? He's saying here? He's saying when he arrives, he is going to put careful accountability measures in place to make sure that the money that the Corinthians gave to the Lord went where it was supposed to go. That's what Paul is saying here. First of all, he says, Corinthians, you pick the men. Men that you approve. You pick the men who are going to carry the gift. Then Paul says, I'll write out letters of introduction for them that I can vouch for these men too. Then Paul says, if it seems advisable for me to go, then I'll accompany them. I'll go with the gift also. Accountability measures. Churches should also have accountability structures in place. Let me share with you some of the accountability measures we practice here at Plantation Community Church. I'll share with you 7 of them. Number 1, we always count the money in groups. Nobody counts money by themselves. Accountability measure. Number 2, we carefully document all cash and check transactions. Number 3, we practice what we call a separation of duties. That simply means that the people who are counting the money are not the ones who write the checks. Okay? Different responsibilities for different people. Number 4, we produce financial records detailing all income and expenses. Number 5, we then provide monthly financial reports to the diaconate and to the congregation. So we can see, how are we doing? Are we tracking? Are we going to be make sure that we don't have this big collection at the end of the year? Number 6, everyone must provide adequate receipts and invoices along with any request for church funds. You need to submit the invoice and the receipt along with that. And then finally, number 7, every year we do an annual audit of all the church finances. See, Paul here in Corinthians, Paul did what? He put procedures in place to make sure that the Corinthian offerings went where they were supposed to go. What do we do at our church? We do the same thing. We have these accountability measures to make sure that your offerings go where they are supposed to go. And so we have these 7 principles, don't we? When it comes to Christian giving, you don't need to worry about finding the instructions, right? We have the instruction manual right here. God has given us all the instructions we need on how to give to the church. Quick review, your giving should be regular, participatory, intentional, proportional, anticipatory, effective, and accountable. What each of us needs to do is we need to take that list home with us. It's in your bulletin. We need to take a look at each of those and say, God, how am I doing with this? You know, I'm doing real good on these ones here. Whoops, I could probably improve on these 2 or 3 or more. We say, God, I want to give the way that you've instructed to give. I want to follow the instructions. It goes so much better when I follow the instructions. These 7 principles, these are timeless principles for Christian giving. They are applicable to all churches at all times. These are the practical aspects of giving that need to take place in every church that seeks to be obedient to God in their giving. And remember, the best part of all is this. When we give as God tells us to give, we will have everything we need to do what God tells us to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Well, dear Lord, as we close out this message, Lord, I know each of us have been challenged in different ways this morning. And Lord, I pray that we take those challenges to heart. Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to be a part of a local church and to participate in that in many different ways, not just in giving, but in service and in worship and in praise and in prayer. But Lord, as we focused on this one aspect of stewardship this morning, I pray that you would help each of us to do our part, to do what you're calling us to do. And Lord, I know as each of us does that, Lord, you are faithful. And Lord, you will provide all that we need to do your work here in Plantation and around the world, Lord. As we share the good news of Jesus with others. Thank you, God, for being our faithful God and provider. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.